Let's read Joshua chapter 3. We'll read the entire chapter. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over the people," or before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. Human beings, as you know, are creatures of habit, and we tend to do things, therefore, in a very predictable way. I have to believe that you've got a morning routine, and that morning routine is probably the same morning after morning. It may include the coffee cup that you use, the particular roads you travel on the way to your work. And so as creatures of habit, we generally don't like change. And if you didn't believe that, well, the recent power outage was a reminder how much you don't like to be inconvenienced. And that's probably the reason why we don't like to be passing into new territory. Because we like things to be somewhat predictable, and we like our own little comfort zone, when we are thrust out of that comfort zone, it causes a certain amount of anxiety. Think of that child going into a new school environment. What a challenging thing that can be. Think of that one going for the first day into a new place of employment. Or perhaps a family walking in for the first time to a new church. We don't generally like passing into new territory because it is a challenging thing. And yet at every stage in life, this is something we must continually do. As the children of Israel stood upon the bank of the Jordan River, before them lay a great new chapter in their existence. And the way ahead was very strange from what they had known to date. And it was altogether different to the wilderness wanderings that they had grown so accustomed to. They had no idea what it meant when they crossed this river. And yet, so that they would not be filled with fear of the unknown, the Lord drew very near unto them, and He gave them a promise of His direction, even though they were heading in a direction that they had never traveled before. I want you to notice in the second verse, the commandment that Joshua gave. In the third verse. Notice the last words of the verse, go after it. What's the significance of that? Well, the Ark of the Covenant was to be borne on the shoulders of the Levites. They were to cross over the Jordan River and were to go about 1,000 yards ahead of the camp. The Ark of the Covenant being the symbol of the presence of God. And that Ark was to go before them as a source of direction. For what purpose? Notice in verse 3, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. And so there was a direction here. Go after it. Go after the symbol of the presence of God, that you might know the way that you must go. And then notice the next statement, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And so they had no idea of what the future held. They could only have imagined all that lay in store for them, both in terms of blessings and burdens. And yet the Lord would assure them of two things. First of all, His abiding presence. There would be surprises ahead for them. But none of those things would come as a surprise to God. Because known unto the Lord are all His works from the beginning of the world. Not only was the promise of His abiding presence in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, but then there was His promised direction, that ye may know the way. And so the Lord, even though He brought them into unknown territory, He did not want them uncertain. And you know, this past year we have been reminded continually, every time we've come into this church, by our pulpit text, that we are to go forward. And of course, that is a going forward by faith, because there are great challenges ahead of us all. And sometimes going forward takes us into new territory. And sometimes we'd be happy just to stay where we were. But going forward takes us often into unfamiliar pathways. And as we stand a few days away from another year, again, we're commanded to go forward, but what will going forward in 2009, what will it include? Who knows what it's going to include for us all? In some sense, the way ahead of us is unknown. Although we may have a general direction, yet we are instructed not even to presume upon one day, for we do not know what even a day will bring forth. And so, friends, there are unknown paths ahead of us all. And although we could never imagine what we may face or experience in this next year, what we can be certain of is the abiding presence of our God and His certain direction. And so as we look at the Scriptures tonight, I want to draw your attention to Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 4. This two-part statement that is made, that ye may know the way which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. What you have here is direction for unknown paths. God wants us to have direction. And direction even when we are charting a course that we have never charted before. And so in this incoming year, and indeed in our future throughout many years, let us be aware of the fact that new perplexities will come. Therefore, we have got to know a fresh guidance from God. Remember these Israelites at this stage, they have spent some 40 years in the wilderness, and they were tough years. And I imagine there was something of relief to finally get out of the desert. And yet, in some sense, they were jumping out of the frying pan now into the fire. Now, think of what was ahead of them as they crossed this Jordan River. We know there was danger. We know there was war. We know there was strong opposition. We also know there was conquest and there was possession. They had no idea what was ahead of them. And perhaps it was a good thing they had no idea. I often look at our children and see that blessed ignorance that they have. They really have not a clue what's going on. And that's a really blessed place to be. But I think sometimes the Lord keeps us in not only a blessed ignorance of the future, but a merciful ignorance of the future. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing we are ignorant of what tomorrow holds. And I think it's God's mercy that He does not unveil His purpose today for our future to our naked gaze, for it probably would be more than we could bear. I imagine if Samuel knew in advance of all that would be in his lifetime, he may not have replied so quickly, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I imagine had Paul had known all that was ahead of him, again, he may not have responded so quickly, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so this next year could be for us all a year of great challenge. But right now, many of those challenges are completely unknown, and in the mercy of God, they remain that way. But notwithstanding, notice the Lord gives guidance still. And in giving guidance, He says absolutely nothing about the perplexities that we might face. He says nothing about those challenges. And herein we learn from this that we're not to live in fear of the unknown. How often do we live crippled by the fear of what might happen? But to live fearing what one day may happen, according to the Scriptures, is sin. The Savior Himself said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. A sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." It's wrong. It's wrong to anticipate trouble or to meet it beforehand, if for no other reason than that every day's trouble is enough. And let's therefore not import the problems of tomorrow, the miseries of tomorrow, into what we're facing today. Because to live in such a way is to deny God's promise that "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so we learn, first of all, not to live in the fear of the unknown. Here's a people going into the unknown, yet they have a certain guidance, the symbol of the presence of God going before them. And dear friend, that is also our hope. There's something else we learn here, and that is to know direction in the future is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the present. Notice in verse 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it." That's the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. "Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go." And so the Levites were to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, and they were to keep a distance of about 1,000 yards. And I think the reason was so that everybody could see the symbol of the presence of God. And then notice the command to go after it. There's not a word here about challenge. There's not a word about what they might face. But there is a strong command, go after it. And friends, to know then direction in the future of things that we don't know will ever happen right now, we've got to follow Christ in the present. And the Ark of the Covenant is not only a symbol of the presence of God, but it is also a picture of the Savior Himself. Because you know that Ark of the Covenant has upon it a mercy seat that was to be sprinkled with blood. And so what you have there is a symbol of God's merciful presence. And let us then keep our eyes upon the merciful presence of the Lord rather than upon the perplexities that we might face. But you remember inside the Ark of the Covenant there were three items. There was first of all a pot of manna, thereby signifying the provision of God. And are we not told through the Scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ is our manna? We're not to look upon the things that we might need, but let's keep our eyes upon the eternal manna. If we've got our eyes upon the Savior, then we will be less inclined to be perplexed with the things that we face. Not only was there a symbol of eternal provision, but there was also the symbol of eternal promise. Because in the Ark of the Covenant, you've got God's law. And in God's law, we've got rich promises, peculiar promises made to the people of God. And so as we go forward, let's not be looking at that which will perplex, but let's look at God's provision, God's eternal promise. And those promises, every one of them, guaranteed through the covenant work of the Lord Himself. But there was something else in that Ark of the Covenant. There was Aaron's budding rod. Remember, it was the budding rod that set apart Aaron's priesthood. And friends, as our Savior is typified by the Ark of the Covenant, are we not reminded of the Lord's eternal priesthood? And so this Ark of the Covenant was to go before the people, not a word about the things they might face, but keep your eyes on it and go after it. And I say in this next coming year, if we keep our eyes upon God's eternal provision and upon God's eternal promise and upon God's eternal priesthood, that Christ lives, He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for us. He's pleading for us. And then I think that we see that there's a great way forward, and we can pray unto the Lord, "Show me thy paths, O Lord, teach me in thy ways." And so when the way ahead of us is devoid of familiar footsteps, let's go back again to the Savior and look at Him. For we know to follow Christ is to walk in a perfect pathway, and God will bless us in that way. And so there are going to be new perplexities, and as for such, we're going to need fresh guidance. But there's something else we'll notice in the passage, and that is there's going to be new afflictions. And therefore, we should cultivate a closer walk with God. You and I can stand back and look at all that was ahead of this people. But let's just think for a moment of what they were soon to face. There was, first of all, the crossing of the Jordan River, and that in itself was a great challenge to their faith, for the Jordan overflowed its banks at the time of harvest. This was a great challenge to faith. If that wasn't a challenge of faith great enough, well, then they would come to Jericho. And the Lord would require of them that they would take that city by unconventional military means. It was a strong challenge to faith. And then we see them come into Ai or to Ai. And when they come to that city, we see them completely defeated. They're sent back and only to find out that there was great sin in their camp and God's judgment fell upon them. In addition to then the crossing of Jordan, a trial of their faith, the conquest of Jericho, a challenge to their trust in God, the defeat of Ai, you have their fatigue of battle and the fatigue of conquest. But when they're crossing this river, right now all of these things are unbeknownst to them. But before they cross the Jordan River, I want you to notice that there was a short period of rest. And we read of that in the second verse. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. The Lord brought them to the riverbank, and for some reason, He left them there for 3 days. And so for 3 days, with the company of the priests and with the symbol of the presence of God, they had, as it were, a calm before the storm, before all these challenges would hit. There was a season to reflect back upon the nearness of God. And dear friends, there are times then when it seems God gives us a season of blessing. And that season of blessing may be 3 days. It may be a season of 3 months, could be a season of 3 years where it appears that all is going according to plan, all is going well. And that season ought to be a time where we root and ground ourselves in His love, so that when we are called into active duty, by that I mean when we are called to exercise faith and when we are facing those situations that would otherwise lead to unbelief, our faith in our God is strong. The sad reality is oftentimes seasons of prosperity we slacken off, and prosperity is so often a dangerous thing. Just consider Samson and his prosperity. He found himself caught completely off guard. And so, dear friend, right now, if God has given you a season of blessing, let not this be a season of ease, but a time when you cultivate a closer walk with God, because you do not know and I do not know what's ahead. But may God grant us such a walk with Him that when we face great afflictions, and there is strength in our soul, and there is above all things a conviction and a confidence that when we walk in difficulties, yet we walk with the presence and the promise of our Lord. And so there's going to be new afflictions, and therefore we must cultivate a closer walk. Notice something else. They stood before unknown pathways, and we reckon that there were also going to be new temptations. And therefore they must be found watching and in prayer. And Joshua said, you have not passed this way before. New perplexities, new afflictions. But surely there would have been new temptations, and we know there was. And most of the temptations they faced were temptations toward unbelief. And you know, dear friend, as we get older, and by that I mean older in the faith, it is very easy to grow into a careless feeling of security. And sometimes we adopt the attitude, as spoken by one man, I have stood, I do stand, therefore I shall stand. You may have been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. A Christian history should teach us to do as one man said, I have stood, I do stand, therefore I may grow careless and fall. Many of the tried, faithful saints of God, having stood for many years, coming into new challenges, new temptations, have fallen flat upon their face. I see Abraham when he came to deny that he was married to his wife. I see Moses, a man tried so repeatedly, yet found sinning at that place called Meribah.
I see David, after he behaves himself wisely in the house of Saul, yet later falling into sin with Bathsheba. There is Peter, 3 years in the constant company and teaching ministry of the Lord. Yet he's the one who said, I know not the man. Let's remember then as we go forward into this next year that without the grace of God, you and me together have the potential to make a total and complete shipwreck of our testimony. But you say, well, that couldn't be the case. Look at my track record. Friends, we stand before unknown territory. We stand before unknown temptation. Don't ever underestimate the weakness of your flesh, or perhaps I should say the strength of your flesh. We're all weaker than we realize, and we're therefore more vulnerable than we think. And so if this next year may bring with it new temptations, and many would lead us to unbelief, and may God help us today then to watch and to pray, so that when we face these new challenges, God will grant us His strength as we would be upheld by His saving mercy. Not only new temptations that would lead us to watchfulness and prayer, but then, of course, ahead of these people, there were also new duties. New duties that would require they reconsecrate themselves to the Lord. Again, as Joshua informs these people, ye have not passed this way before. They knew nothing about what was ahead of them in terms of new duties. But as for us, we have the benefit of seeing that for them there were new demands. There were new opportunities. There were new responsibilities. I wonder, dear friend, as you think about this next year. And this next year is also a great year of opportunity for you. It's a great year of personal responsibility. It's a year of new demands for work. Of course, you must do all these things for yourself. But I wonder, are you even beginning to think now of those things that you might do for Christ and those things that you might do for Christ's people? Usually as we come to the end of the year, it's a time for reflection. And at the beginning of the year, then you've got resolutions. And I think for a believer, it's a good thing just to stop at times and to ask simple questions. Lord, have I been for You what I know that I ought to be? Have You given Christ Your all in this past year? Or has another year passed with another year of broken resolutions? My friends, by the grace of God, it doesn't have to be so. I can't believe in my mind, my own life, that we're coming upon 2009. And there's things I said I would do, and I said I would do, and I said I would do, and said I would do, that I still haven't done. How many years are we just going to let time go by and go by and go by and never come to the place to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, O God, use me. Here I am, Lord, thrust me into an active mercy, service of some description that keeps me in check, that keeps me in harness, that keeps me in service. I was encouraged talking with her sister Diane Weber this last week as she spoke of the provision that God has made for her up at the mansion. And she said to Jean and I, she says, I hope to go in harness. In other words, she hoped that the Lord would take her home even as she continued to serve Him. But what a testimony that dear woman is her 70s. There she's got a little place in the mansion. And even as we left, there was a group of young ladies coming down that she was mentoring, ministering. Even though she's got this back brace on, she's being used of God. And friends, we're not all called to full-time service, but we're all called to some type of ministry. May God grant you in this incoming year to be involved in something and to have your hand in some part of the service of the Lord that you may rejoice in being a part of His blessed work. And so there were new duties. And those duties would require a reconsecration of self unto the Lord. But for this people, there were not only new duties, there were going to be new privileges. After all, they were going now into the promised land. And so as they go into the promised land, there were great privileges that they were going to be embracing. And this new territory that they were going to be possessing was going to reveal unto them tremendous things. And friends, as we go into new territory, it is in this territory we also learn tremendous things. We learn primarily about our God and what lessons they would have learned about the sovereignty of God. For the Lord says, look, the pathways ahead of you are unknown. They were unknown to the Israelites, but they were not unknown to God. And as it was with them, so it is with us. They were God-appointed paths, and the paths you're on are also God-appointed paths. Whatever paths they meant to these people, or whatever paths they mean to you, these were the right paths. What a comfort that is to the child of the Lord. You and I face emergencies every day, but our God faces no emergencies. As Spurgeon said, our present pathway is new to us, but it's not new to God. The peculiar troubles of today, which are troubling you, your Heavenly Father was wise to 1,000 or 10,000 years before. A new road to us is an old road to God. And what encouragement that ought to give us then as we go into a new year with pathways that have never been walked. What a privilege to embrace the sovereignty of God. May God teach us in unknown paths as something of His perfect will. Not only the sovereignty of God will they learn and we learn, but what about the sufficiency of His grace? I think that the command to go and to take Jericho by the unconventional means would have been a sore trial to a people that would have been perplexed and real prepared to say, Lord, why on earth have you asked us to go like this? But was it not that the Lord would demonstrate His power, His strength, His perfect will, even as they embraced Him and just did as He asked, as difficult as it was, the Lord sustained. Again, speaking this last week to our sister Lynn Halko, thank the Lord she's home. Thank the Lord she was able to enjoy a meal at Christmas time with her family, the first one in a number of months. But to see her say, even in the midst of all of the hardship that has caused her to be very low at times, yet to see that God has faithfully provided for me. Dear friends, the pathways ahead for us in this next year may not only teach of the sovereignty of God, but the sufficiency of His grace. But I have to believe we'll learn something else, and that is the stability of the Scripture. The promise of God was to Joshua, I will be with thee. And we sang it several times tonight, I will not forsake thee. How do we know that to be true except we'd be thrust into environments where it appears He has left us? And over again, then we're reminded. Oh, may God help us then to see that there's much to learn of our God in this incoming year. What about the presence of our covenant-keeping God? Again, this ark was to travel 3/4 of a mile in front of them. And one commentator said regarding that ark that would go ahead of them and was to be then the object of their constant gaze. He said, we never travel so sweetly over the rough ways of this life as when we see that God, the living God, the God of the covenant, the God of the mercy seat, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of reconciliation by blood, is with us and fulfilling His promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Friends, if our eye is upon the covenant of God and upon the work of Christ, I think there's grace of great blessing ahead for us, even though we be found on new paths. And so on this coming Wednesday night, we're standing before a new year. And in many ways, we stand as these Israelites stood before the river. And of them, it could be said that you have not passed this way heretofore. Friends, there are many unknown paths ahead of us all. And we don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know, therefore, what a year will bring forth. But thank God we can go forward trusting in unfailing guidance. And we can go forward trusting in God's unfailing presence. He's with His people. And we do not need to coerce it that it may be so. Our God is with us, and that to bless. And may we go forward in this incoming year confident in His blessing, confident in His mercy, and with our eyes stayed upon Jehovah. For therein our hearts are fully blessed. May God bless His Word. May He use it to encourage your heart. And may He lead us on with Himself. Let's all pray together.